Hello, my name is Daniel Moff, and in this short video I'd like to show you how we've made multi-threaded debugging easier in Visual Studio 2010. Here I'm running a beta 2, and in order to show you the one new debugger window, Parallel Stacks, I've got this .NET 4 solution with a single code file, and as you can see in the single code file I have a series of methods that are named with single letters, just to keep things very simple. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run this, and I've got four breakpoints and embedded in there. So we're going to hit each breakpoint, and I'm going to walk you through some of the new features. So let's go and hit F5. So here I've hit the first breakpoint in my application, and as you can see, the application has created four threads. So we have the main thread, and we have four other threads listed here in the new threads window in Visual Studio 2010. And what I can do here is I can go on the call stack window, which is next to the threads window, and I can see the actual call path that this thread, the current thread that has the yellow arrow, I can see exactly what call paths it took. So here is some non-user code, and then it went to my method in my class S, A, then to B, then to C, and I can see the argument that was one, and I can see the line numbers that this is at right now. So right now it's at line 52, for example. If I go and switch to another thread, let's switch to this one, so you can see that has now the current thread pointer. This one I can see has gone again from A to B to C. I can see the line numbers are slightly different if I care about that granularity. And I can also see that the argument passed was 2 instead of 1. But the key point here, especially if you're doing parallelism, is that this also went from A to B to C. So two threads are executing and at the same code path. I could go and switch to the third one to find, again, the same information. It goes from A to B to C. The argument is different. These line numbers happen to be the same as the one before, I believe. And when we switch to this one, indeed, the line numbers are the same call path, A, B, C, but this time the argument is 4. So this kind of switching threads in order to see the call stacks and trying to cache them mentally in order to compare them in your head and see, is it the same, is it different, where are all my threads executing right now, this is kind of tedious having to do this way. And one of the ways you can look at all of this information in a single view is via the new window, which is from the debug windows menu, Parallel Stacks. So in another video I'm going to talk about parallel tasks. Here I'm talking about parallel stacks. So when I bring this guy up, what you can see is we can see all the threads and all the call stacks for them. So let's see exactly what this view is telling us here. So what it's telling me is that I've got one thread here. So you can see it says one thread, and I can see which thread ID this is and what the name is. So it's 4844 main thread. You can cross-correlate that with that information down there. And I can see that this thread has gone from main to read line and so on. And if I was to switch here in the main thread, you could verify that is the same information we're seeing down here in the call stack window. Now, you can see then in the box next to it that I've got four threads in here, and I can see the thread IDs and the names for that. And this is the nice feature of this window, that it coalesces all the call stacks that are the same into the same nodes, into the same boxes on this diagram. So I can actually see that those four threads all go from A to B to C. Now, the extra information that you may want to see is, of course, the detail, like the arguments passed and the line numbers. And you can get that when you go and actually hover over here, and you can see that information in the tooltip. So I can see the thread IDs and the full information that the call stack window was showing me. I can do that for any stack frame, of course. So if I go there, I can see, again, that information there. And I can compare the line numbers. I can see how these threads were at slightly different line numbers in that method. The detail of what you see on the tooltip of the stack frame is configured via the call stack window, so there's one place for you to configure that. So if I was to go here and say, for example, show module names or show byte offsets, you see those things appear in here, and if you go back to the parallel stacks window, the tooltip also reflects those configuration changes that you made. So I can see exactly all that same information. I'm just turning it off here purely for the sake of screen real estate, given the low resolution that I'm running it to record this screencast. Other thing you may have noticed here is the icon. So here you can see that we have the yellow icon, which indicates the active stack frame, the top of stack effectively of a particular thread. You can see the cloth threads icon in the tooltip that shows that those other three threads, their active stack frame is also here. So the cloth threads icon, the blue and red lines, that is about active stack frames of non-current threads effectively. When I went and switched to the main thread here, you saw that the blue highlight moved. So the blue highlight around the nodes, that shows you which node has the current thread. So that's an indication of that. And also when I switched here, you saw the green curved arrow there, which shows me where the current stack frame is. So there's a notion of an active stack frame, which is the top of stack, and there's a notion of the current stack frame, the one that the debugger window focuses on right now. And that current stack frame can be changed, of course. So if I just double click here in the call stack window, you'll see that indeed we reflect that change. We show it there as well. That's the current stack frame of this thread and what the debugger is focusing on. And this is the active stack frame of thread 1660. So I can tell this is the 1660, that is the current thread, because it's bold in the tooltip. So you can see that up there as well. So if I was to switch to another thread, and then we go here, you see that again the bold one indicates which one, since we have many in this node, which one is the current thread, and that boldness also is shown in the tooltips below. So that is the information that this gives you at a glance. Once you know what it is, of course, you can quickly go deduce it and find if this is an error you want to focus on debugging further, or if there is no problem here that you would that you were expecting. So now I'm going to continue and hit the second breakpoint so we can go and see how the picture changes. So let's focus here on the parallel stacks window. So we had the four threads that were went from A to B to C. The main thread has stayed in the same place. And let's see what happened here. So what's happened is from C, one of the threads, in particular thread 1660, it went from C to D to E. And that's in fact the one that hit the breakpoint. So I can see from the blue highlight, this is the current thread. So that's the one that's hit the breakpoint right now. Then the other threads went from C to FGH, and that's where it stopped right now, and this is the thread 3528 that we can see down there. And then the other two threads went to I and J, and I can see that information here. From J, one of them went to K, and then is somewhere now waiting, blocked on something, and the other one went from J to another non-user code. I can tell that because it's slightly grayed out. And then into more non-user code up there. So that's the thread 3036, whereas this one is the 4392. So you can see that the parallel stacks window, like I said on the previous breakpoint, coalesces the call stacks when the method contexts are the same, but when they diverge, it fans out like this. So it fans out the diagram to show you exactly where each thread has diverged. And that's very useful, so you can see where all your threads are at the current point, even if they're not at exactly the same methods. You can still go and see that. So earlier I switched through the threads window, and you can see the blue highlight moving around. I also switched through the call stack window, so you can see the actual current stack frame icon updating. But obviously you do not need those two windows in order to switch what your debugger is focusing on. So I can go here and just double click, and that also you can see switches the current stack frame, the other windows update. If I had the locals window, they'd be showing the variables of this method and the code editor scrolls as well. Again, if I want to switch to this stack frame on this other thread, I can double click and again it goes there. So notice that with a simple double click, we're now switching threads and stack frames in one go. So you don't have to switch thread and then go and find the stack frame you want to focus on. You can do that in one go. So we can switch the threads, like I said, here. But obviously, what would happen if I was to double-click here? In here, we have S.J, that method context, represents two stack frames, one on thread 3036 and one on 4392. So which one will I switch if I double-click? Well, if I go and double-click here, we'll get the menu, and it says which one is it that you want to actually switch to. So if I was to say 3036, for example, then I click on that, and now I've switched the current stack frame and the thread. If I double-click again, of course, and I choose the other one, so this shows me which one is the on the current thread, then I switch that, then I'm switching to that stack frame, still in the same method context, and you saw the blue highlight move over there. In addition to the double clicking, what you can do as you hover over these, you'll see the triangle here at the end. So if you go and actually click on that, so if I click on that now, I get the menu, and this I can see again the switch to frame. So let me just go and do that over here. So when I switch to frame, obviously the S.C is not the current method context, but it tells me if you switch to this stack frame of the four that's represented, you will remain on the same thread. And indeed, if I switch to this, we've switched the current stack frame and the call path was the same. If I was to go here and do that again, but instead of picking the one that's checked, pick another one, I'll be switching thread as well at the same time. So if I switch here, you'll see that now the current thread was switched as well as the current stack frame. Now, in addition to obviously just clicking on the left clicking on the triangle like I did, you can also right click and then you get the same menu and you can go and switch wherever it is that you you want to go. So that's how you switch stack frames and indeed switch the current thread in the debugger. You saw there the context menu, so I can show you a few more things on that. So I'll just right click here. In addition to switching frame, what you can do is you can go to source code. So if I just click on that, that navigates and goes to that method in the editor, but you can see all the other debugger windows, they don't change their focus. So this is purely for quickly navigating to methods and seeing what they look like, as opposed to switching the focus of the debugger. Of course, if I click and say go to disassembly, that will take me to the disassembly. I can see the line numbers mixed with all the other bytecodes. And going to disassembly is the only option you get for a non-user code frame. So go to source code is disabled. So if I click on that, then I can see just the disassembly of that framer code whose source I do not have, of course. Other options here on the context menu is the hexadecimal display, which is a global debugger setting. So when I click on that, you'll see that all the values have changed the hex, including in the tooltips over here. I'll just switch one that back again for screen real estate reasons. And then what I can also do is a couple of symbol settings. So symbol load information will give you quick information on what's loaded. And from here, you can go to symbol settings. But if that's what you wanted to do, you can go directly to that by just choosing symbol settings. And this is the same place you go from tools options and expand debugging and go to symbols. So you can go and load symbols, change your cast directory, and so on. The other option that you saw here is I was talking about external code, and we can see all the external code. Well, if I don't want that, I can just go and say, well, don't show me the external code. So I'm hiding it. And this is because I've enabled the just my code option from the tools options in the debugger. And that's the reason I have that menu option available. Now, these last options I've just described on the menu, you can find them all from the call stack window as well. So switching to frame, going to source, disassembly, hex, showing external, and these two symbol options. So really, it's the same shortcut menus that we've given you here, because we think those are the ones that most commonly you would want to use. So with that, let's go and hit the third breakpoint so we can see a bit more in this window. So I've hit the 5, I'm going to hit the third breakpoint. I can see how some of the threads have continued going up to their various places. And for example, here it's interesting. The one that was in SJ has now in KLO, then in some external code, and then it goes back into user code in P.Q. This is a pattern that we're seeing more often appear now that everyone is using delegates and lambdas, passing them to framework methods, and that's what I'm doing in code, really, for this to appear like that. So just an interesting pattern that you can easily spot there, which thread is the one that's doing that. Now, you will have noticed earlier, like I said, we coalesce the stack frames that are the same on the threads when they're at the root, so where they started. As soon as they diverge, we never coalesce back together. So this diagram will always fan out into various directions. It will never come back together. We don't have two arrows pointing to the same box. But you will have occasions where your threads diverge, but they still go and enter the same method later on, and that is useful information to have. So for example, if I go here and switch to SL, you'll see that the method L actually right at this time, we can see that this thread is also into it. We can see that thread is also into it. So what we've done in order to attract your attention to this is whenever you switch to a frame, we make it bold in the diagram to attract your attention, say, well, you know what? We haven't put these in the same node. We haven't grouped them together, coalesced them in the same box. But it might be interesting to see that that both of these are actually all three threads are actually in this method. And as you can see, the current stack frame is always bold, and if it's anywhere else, then it appears bold there as well. Now, if you have a really large diagram, or if you really want to focus on this particular method, L, maybe this is not good enough, just a bolding, and you want to actually group them together in a single node. And that's what we do with our feature that we call method view that you can get here from the toolbar. So when you have a current frame, the one that you want, you can click on method view. And now what we've done is we've pivoted the diagram on that method. So S to L, the three occurrences have been coalesced into this one place. So you can see exactly which three threads are in there right now. And also you can see the callers and the callees. So I can see the three threads, what path they took. So this is always shown in single boxes. And we see all of them going into there. And then from there, we find out again at the top, as if we would in the stack view, in the normal view, to show you that look, from L, one went to M, the other went to N, the other to O. So very quickly, just by looking at the top frames in these nodes and the bottom ones in those nodes, you can see the callers and callees and if this is what you were expecting. Of course, any threads that were not into SL have been removed from the view, so this is to give you clarity. And if I was to go and move, double-click somewhere else, let's say in SH, you'll see that now I'm pivoting on that method, and there's only one thread in there, so my method view is fairly simple, so it doesn't give me much information. So I can keep switching in here, or if I'm not interested anymore in the method view, I want to see my big picture again, then we click on method view, so we depress that button, and now we're back to the previous view. So before I go and hit the fourth breakpoint, we looked at the method view. It's worth looking at the other options up here. So one of them is flagging. So here, you see we've been focusing on these four threads that do the interesting stuff. The main thread is not doing anything interesting, it's just blocked on a console read line. Maybe I don't want to see this thread or other threads that I had here. I want to filter them out of my diagram so I can focus better. So what we can do is we can say, well, show me just the flagged threads. And obviously the threads window has no flagged items. So if I go to the threads window, I can start flagging items. So I can flag this thread, I can go and flag that thread, and I can flag all the threads that I know I'm interested in. And flagging is a feature that the threads window has had in the previous release, and we just use it here as a filtering mechanism for the parallel stacks window. And now the main thread is not in there because I haven't flagged it over there. If I was to flag it, it would appear, unflag it, it disappears. So this is the flagged view that you can use to filter the threads that you look at. The other option you will have seen here, which is press, is the auto-scrolling. And what this does, so if I double-click here, you'll see that we auto-scroll to exactly where we want to be. And if we need to, of course, if we don't, there's no scrolling that takes place. So let me just do that again so you can see it. Obviously, if you go and depress that, then there won't be any scrolling that will take place. So we switch frames, but the diagram stays exactly where you are. And in some debugging scenarios, you want to just keep this as is while you're studying other debugger windows. The default is that you would want to scroll, and that's why that is also what is pressed by default. And the final button up here on the toolbar is the toggling the zoom control. So the zoom control here that I'm going to show you in a minute, just hitting it hides it, and hitting it again shows it. But the zoom in will still work with the control and mouse wheel. So let me go and turn on the external code so we get a bigger diagram. And also I'm going to go and hit the 5 to continue to the next breakpoint. And here we can see that the picture is getting bigger and bigger all the time. And it's time to talk about some of the navigation things. So I just talked about the zoom control there. What you can do here is you can basically zoom out to see the picture at the level that you want. You can also go and zoom in to make it really large if that's what you want to do. And what you can also do is click on the button here to fit the view to window, which happens to be 57% it's reporting. Clicking it again will go to 100%. So it goes to 100% and fit to window. That's what this button toggles between. And going up and down will zoom in and out. I can also do this with the by hitting the control and using the mouse wheel. So even if the zoom is not visible, I can just zoom in and out like this. But of course, then I don't get the pleasure of using the zoom control. In addition to having the zooming capability, you can, as I've done throughout this video, you can just click on anywhere on the white space and drag the diagram in that direction. And the advantage of that is that you don't have to go to the scroll bars and scroll left or right, up and down. You can just simply do it by wherever your mouse is at this moment in time. Also, when scroll bars appear, and only when scroll bars appear, or at least one of them appears, what you'll get down here is this button. And when you click this button, you get the bird's eye view. So now I can just go and drag this blue highlight and go and bring into view the areas that I'm most interested in. So that's a useful feature down there as well for managing with large diagrams. And finally, you're not going to be running at the resolution I am, so you'll probably have the window much larger floating over here, or even take it to your a second monitor, and there you can just go and click on the maximize button, and you can maximize the view and focus and see everything the way you like it. I usually take this on my second monitor and maximize it there, but you could see how you could use that whenever you want. Or if you get rid of the window, remember you can just go back and open it from the debug window parallel stacks. So that's all I wanted to share with you about this the parallel stacks window. I hope you'll find this useful for debugging multi-threaded applications. Take the Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2, play with this window, and send me feedback direct at daniel.moth@microsoft.com. Thanks for watching.